Chapter 28. Acceptance. Seth was still trying to believe that he was not in trouble. At Fablehaven, he had met Newell and Doran on his way back to the house. They had been coming in his direction. Grandma Sorensen had sent the satyrs to get a boat and rescue him from the island at the center of the fairy pond. It spoke to their friendship that Newell and Doran had been willing to paddle anywhere near that deadly island, but the naiads had already brought Seth a boat and shuttled him across the water, as the Fairy King had promised they would do before bidding Seth farewell. Seth learned from the satyrs that Nox had returned from Wormroost. Despite his confidence that his cousin would be fine, the news was still a huge relief. Grandma Sorensen had hugged Seth fiercely and smothered him with kisses when he found her guarding the barrel. That was to be expected if she had thought he was dead. It was so great to hear that the plan had worked. The scepter was secure at Blackwell Keep. The barrier was at full strength again. Seth was still convinced the scolding would come eventually. Instead, Grandma put together a nice meal and sent him to bed. He was so tired, having stayed up the previous night adventuring and riding horses, not to mention outrunning a dragon horde on a half-trained griffin. After awakening before sunrise, Grandma Sorensen and the Larsons had shared a delicious breakfast with him. Nox had pestered Seth for another virtual reality experience. Seth had explained how expensive it was to formally enroll in the camp, and how the administrators now viewed Nox as an outlaw for interfering in the game as an unregistered user. Grandma had the barrel moved to the dungeon to prevent Nox from trying to sneak through. When she brought Seth back to Wormroost not long after sunrise there, he received a hero's welcome. Before returning, he had accepted the possibility that he would be stripped of his position as caretaker. Or, if he was irreplaceable for a time, perhaps they would just lock him up? When he arrived, Marat and the staff were assembled, along with Kendra and Grandpa. Mendigo was there as well, having made his way back to the keep along the roads. Brunwyn had given him a wink and a nod, while the others cheered. The opposite of a scolding. Seth discovered that Tempest had returned on her own. The dragons hadn't even chased her. They had withdrawn from the keep shortly after Kendra had spoken with Celebrant alone. Henrik was back too. The plan had worked. Now Seth stood in Grandma and Grandpa Sorensen's room with Kendra, Henrik, and Marat. Surely he would finally be told how reckless he had been. Seth couldn't endure the tension any longer. He knew it was a rookie mistake to draw attention to his crime, but he had to end the suspense. "Aren't you guys going to scold me?" Seth blurted. Everyone looked to Grandpa.
"Well, Seth, that depends," Grandpa said. "Do you deserve a scolding?"
Seth paused. He could almost feel the thin ice beneath his feet beginning to crack. He needed to tread carefully.
"Not really," he said as casually as he could manage.
"No?" Grandpa asked, curious.
"I thought of a way to save the sanctuary," Seth said. "I was the only one at risk."
"What about your cousin?" Grandma asked.
"I knew he would be safe," Seth said.
"I've lived and worked on enchanted preserves for over 50 years, Grandpa said. "I wasn't sure Nox was safe. Were you, Marat?"
"I wasn't sure," Marat said.
"Nobody was sure," Grandpa said. "Except you. What about Kendra? If you had died, she would have been vulnerable to Celebrant."
"I knew she would have the scepter," Seth said. "But if I couldn't talk to Celebrant, he could denounce me as caretaker and take over," Kendra said.
"I didn't really think that through," Seth admitted. "Sorry."
"It so happens that even though you lived, your sister had to speak to Celebrant alone,"
Grandpa said.
You did? Seth exclaimed. Really? Solo?
And she performed admirably, Marat said, though I fear relations may be irreparable. Celebrant was never your friend, but he was willing to pretend in some ways. I believe all pretenses are over. The caretakers of Wormroost are at war.
We were already heading that way, Seth said.
We have now arrived, Henrik confirmed. Any other thoughts? Grandpa asked Seth.
I did my best, he said.
Grandpa Sorensen crossed to him and gave him a big hug.
I know you did, my boy. You were placed in an impossible situation, Seth. You assumed the mantle of caretaker for one of the most dangerous sanctuaries on the planet. You had a plan that you believed in. You did your best. How can I scold that?
The hug ended. Seth stared at his grandpa.
Should I have told you the plan? I wanted to tell you. Would you have helped me improve it?
Honestly, I'm afraid I would have stopped you, Grandpa said, and Wormroost would have fallen.
It would have fallen without Henrik, too, Kendra said. I can't believe he made it so far with the scepter.
I used all of my tricks, Henrik said, all of my knowledge and equipment. It was almost enough to get me back to the keep, but by the time I arrived, too many dragons were standing guard. I was relieved to access the safe hut.
How did you split into so many people? Seth asked.
I have a lot of tools, Henrik said. Equipment that distracts or attacks or grants limited invisibility. But the crowning jewel of all my gear is the Prism of Reflections. It creates 4 duplicates for a total of 5, then 4 more of each for a total of 25. Some duplicates had heavy distractor spells on them, some light. Mine was right in the middle. The Prism of Reflections even duplicated my gear, including the magical signature given off by the scepter. It gave me a good head start.
The duplicates looked real, Kendra said. Henrik shook his head.
All but me were illusions. But the illusions were strong enough that you would think you had felt something if you brushed up against one of them. The prism creates illusions capable of confusing all 5 senses. 6 senses, really, if you count the distractor spells and replication of magical signatures. Your combined actions saved Wormroost, Marat said. I wish that all sanctuaries had been so fortunate. I wanted to wait until you were assembled to share this information. I'm sorry to report that Soaring Cliffs has fallen.
Kendra looked pale. Bracken, she said numbly.
And Agate, Marat said, and many others. We do not know their fates. We lost communication when the dragons took over.
Kendra's jaw was clenched. Tears shimmered in her eyes. She squeezed the unicorn horn in her hands.
I've been trying to contact him. No answer.
Marat went to Kendra and ran a finger along the horn.
Bracken is alive. The nature of the horn would change if he expired.
Kendra broke down into sobs. Seth heard a blend of relief and worry in her weeping. He drew near and rubbed her shoulder.
Does that mean we have dragons on the loose?
Grandpa said.
It means there could be many dragons on the prowl, Marat said. Former captives free to roam the wide world for the first time in centuries. Only time will tell what they do next.
Kendra was slowly regaining control.
Can we help Bracken and Agate?
We'll do all we can, Marat said. The remaining members of Dragonwatch are already organizing a scouting mission, which can hopefully lead to a rescue.
We can't go, Seth guessed.
You are bound to Wormroost for at least a year, Grandpa said.
Unless Celebrant lets us appoint a new caretaker, Kendra said.
Marat chuckled. Which will not happen. Celebrant has learned that you are much stronger adversaries than he first supposed. But you shamed him, Kendra. Deeper than he has ever been shamed. You humiliated him in word and deed.
I wish I could have heard that, Seth said with a groan. I miss all the good stuff.
You weakened his position as Dragon King, Marat continued. I know Celebrant. He will do everything in his power to block your escape. Only defeating you will satisfy him.
We have a lot to consider, Grandma said.
We need more help here, Grandpa said. I will put out a call to the Knights of the Dawn. The Scepter will protect Blackwell Keep from a direct assault, but there are other ways to wage a war. We must try to prepare against every eventuality.
Reach out to your people, Marat said. I will reach out to mine. We'll meet tonight to discuss how to go forward.
Marat and Henrik left the room.
Grandma sat beside Kendra, comforting her. Grandpa patted Seth on the arm.
You two children continue to astound me, Grandpa said. In only a few days, you have stabilized the defenses of Blackwell Keep, exposed the intentions of the Dragon King, and gained acceptance as the caretakers of Wormroost.
Do they really accept us? Kendra asked. You should hear the chatter around the castle, Grandma said. The tune has changed since you were first appointed.
What were they saying before? Seth wondered.
There may have been a lack of enthusiasm about your potential to do the job well, Grandpa said diplomatically.
Will you send someone to help Bracken? Kendra asked Grandpa. Some Knights of the Dawn? I don't know the Dragon Watch members.
It's my top priority, Grandpa said. We have to find Bracken and Agad, and hopefully we can regain control of Soaring Cliffs. It won't be easy, and our resources are stretched. Other sanctuaries are dealing with rebellion as well.
Kendra sighed. I'm glad you'll try. Does the Fairy Queen know?
Grandpa shook his head.
We have to tell her, Kendra said. Bracken is her son. She may have ways to help.
We'll get a message to her somehow, Grandpa said. He patted Seth's arm. I think someone in your room will be eager to greet you.
The tiny hero, Seth said.
He went and opened his door in time to see a miniature figure scuttling away toward the nightstand. Seth closed the door.
Were you spying on us? Seth asked.
Calvin stopped and looked up at Seth.
It's what I do. I think your grandfather spotted me. Sharp eyes.
You could have just come in, Seth said.
It seemed like a family conversation, Calvin said. I wanted you to think you had your privacy.
Seth walked over and scooped him up. Did you make it to Henrik before Knox?
I sure did,
Calvin stated proudly. There wasn't a lot of time, Seth said.
I whistled up a bird, Calvin said. A thrush. Not as impressive as a dragon, but serviceable. The trick is learning how to steer them.
Whistled it up? Seth asked.
I call them with my pipes, Calvin said. It's really convenient when it works.
You have lots of hidden talents.
So do you.
Good job finding the scepter, Seth said. You really did save the day. Kendra and I are getting a lot of credit, but we'd be toast without you. Calvin beamed up at him.
Just doing my duty. It's not every day you get to ride a dragon.
Kendra was able to talk to a dragon alone, Seth said. You can too. I'm the only loser who can't.
You're the loser who really saved the day, Calvin said. I can't believe you went to the fairy realm. You were right not to bring me. I doubt they would have let me in.
I met somebody there, Seth said. He asked me not to tell anyone.
Must have been a unicorn,
Calvin said.
Or an Astrid. Not a lot of males in the fairy realm.
You know a lot, Seth said.
I keep my eyes open,
Calvin said.
I'm always learning.
I'm learning too, Seth said.
Learning what?
If you're going to take a huge risk and you want to stay out of trouble, it really helps if your plan actually works. Seth started rummaging in his emergency kit.
What are you looking for?
Calvin asked. Seth pulled out an onyx model of a tower and a slip of paper. Let's go get Kendra. I think we need to send the dragons a message. Kendra and Seth stood on the wall near where the perch had been destroyed. A few jagged pieces of lumber still projected from the stonework. Behind them huddled Grandma and Grandpa Sorensen, Marat, and several members of the Blackwell Keep staff. Seth leaned over the brink so he could see Brunwyn crouching down below on the bare ground just beyond the castle wall. The Minotaur looked up and waved an arm. Then he turned and trotted back toward the gate. Seth held up the paper from his emergency kit. The words were written in gibberish, followed by a phonetical translation in English. Agad had suggested he simply needed to utter the phrase to activate the magic. Seth spoke the nonsensical syllables, then watched as the tiny tower Brunwyn had placed down below began to expand and ascend. The stone of the tower was a little darker than the gray blocks of Blackwell Keep, but lightened to match the stone of the keep as it grew. The flat top of the square tower stopped rising as it drew even to the height of the wall, and complementary battlements sprouted up. As the transformation ended, the tower fused to the keep, as if part of the original design. The area atop the tower was at least twice the size the wooden perch had been. Seth breathed a sigh of relief. The tower had conformed to the keep better than he had hoped. Part of him had worried the new tower might damage the wall. Kendra hugged him from behind. It's perfect, she gushed. A cheer went up from the assembled staff. Marat peered down at the new tower.
That was highly adaptable magic, he said. A first-rate enchantment. It's a strong statement, Seth. Well done.
For a moment, all was still. Then, in the distance, faint enough that it might have come from his imagination, Seth thought he heard a dragon roar. This concludes this presentation of Dragon Watch by Brandon Mull. Performed by Kirby Haborn. This program was produced by Kenny Hodges. Executive producers, Chris Schobinger and Heidi Taylor. Copyright 2017 by Brandon Mull. Production copyright, Shadow Mountain. All rights reserved. This has been a Shadow Mountain production.